Okay, Chevra, let's begin learning some Torah. The last halacha that we're up to in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbes is something that we've covered already. So I figured what I would do with you today is a discussion of some of the minhagim of the Yontiv of Shavuos. The Yontiv is coming up relatively quickly, and the Rama tells us in Siman Tov Tzadi Daled that Nohagen Bekama Mekomos Lechom Acholei Cholov B'yom Rishon Shel Shavuos. The Rama tells us that the minig in many locations is that on the first day of Shavuos, they eat milk, and they eat Macholei Cholov, they eat milchiks, and the Rama says that the reason is because just like on Pesach, we have Shnei Tavshilin to remind us of the karbanos that were brought in the Yontif of Pesach, so also on Shavuos, we are trying to remember the karbanos that were brought on Shavuos, which are the Shtei HaLechem, and therefore we'll eat milchiks and fleishiks. You have to have a separate loaf of bread for the milchiks, a separate loaf of bread for the fleishiks, and in that way you end up with Shtei HaLechem. The Achreinim say that because it's Eichel Shtei HaLechem, so you should make sure that the loaves are wheat, not barley, because Shtei HaLechem was wheat, the Korban Omer was barley, etc. That's a beautiful Rama. Now, this halacha, or this minig of the Rama, of eating milchiks, is worth analyzing a little bit. Just first, a teeny diuk. The way I have it in my Shulchan Aruch, it says, V'nohagen bekama mekomos. The minig in many locations is to eat milchiks on Shavuos. In the older versions of the Shulchan Aruch, it didn't say bekama mekomos, it said b'chol makom. Right? Apparently what used to happen was that they had Rashi Tevis. And in the Rashi Tevis in the Shulchan Aruch, it said beiz chaf mem. And beiz chaf mem was originally taken to mean b'chol makom. And in the later editions of the Shulchan Aruch, in the edition of the Mishnah Brura, it says bekama mekomos, not b'chol makom. That's actually very interesting and important, because what that means is that the minig of eating milchiks is not a universal minhag. And when we go into the source of the minhag, we notice that it is not at all universal. What I'm quoting mostly comes from an article of Rav Gedalia Oberlander. Rav Oberlander has a journal called Ar Yisrael Munsi. He's the author of the Sefer Pidyon HaBenkel Chasso. And Rav Oberlander has a nice tracing of the minhag. The earliest source that we have of the minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos comes from the Sefer Kolbo. The earliest source that we have comes the Kolbo. We spoke about the Kolbo yesterday in Hilchos Shabbos. The Kolbo, we don't know exactly when he was born. The work is attributed to be the Ra'ah. The Reb Aaron Halevi of Lunel, the Kolbo was expelled from Provence in 1306. He ended up going to Spain. And the Kolbo tells me that the minig is that on Shavuos they eat devash v'cholov. They eat honey and milk. And that's because the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim writes, devash v'cholov tachas l'shoneich. So Torah is compared to devash and cholov. The Sefer Kolbo, however, continues that the minig on Shavuos also is that they would eat matzah. They'd eat matzah. Why matzah? Because Shavuos is called atzeres. The Ramban al Torah and others point out that Shavuos is ke'ilu the Shmini Atzeres of the Yontif of Pesach, in order to remind us that there's a connection between Shavuos and Pesach, so therefore they would eat matzah on Shavuos, but because the matzah might not taste so geschmack, they would put saffron on their matzah when they ate their matzah on Shavuos. The Sefer Kolbo also writes that they would make a special challah for Shavuos, and the special challah that they made on Shavuos had was a doubled challah that was attached together, because the mazel, the sign in the zodiac for the month of Sivan, is Teumim, is twins, and in order to remember that, we have we have Chala that looks like twins. That's in the Sefer Kobo, which is the earliest source that we mentioned of the minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos. But when you read the Kobo doesn't only have milchiks. He has milchiks, he has honey, he has matzah. It's mamish, like a whole seuda filled of like totally weird things. Yes, sir? Right, so that's an important yisod, that people back then also did not like eating matzah, so therefore alternatively, I was thinking before when I said this, that maybe the pshat is that the matzah that they had is left over from Pesach, and 7-week-old matzah, right, probably is even less geschmack than the matzah on the yontiv of Pesach. Ad kan sefer HaKolbo. Now, later on, the minhag is mispatzel. The minhag of eating honey ends up making it to Spanish communities, and the minhag of eating milchiks ends up making it to Ashkenazi communities, so much so that in the Sefer Leket Yosher, the Leket Yosher is a student of the Maharival. The Leket Yosher writes, it's on page 103, that the first day of Shavuos, they eat dogim mitugonim bechema. They eat fish that's fried in butter. Now, here's the thing. There is a girsa in the Beis Yosef that when you fry fish in butter, it becomes non-kosher. Just like it's dangerous to eat, and it's assertated because of the sakana. Just like we know that you're not supposed to have fish and meat together because it's kosher sakana. It's considered dangerous. So there was a minha, there was a girsa in the Beis Yosef that fish and cheese or fish and butter would be a problem also because it's a sakana. Everyone says about this girsa that it's a total mistake. However, my mother remembers that one time she had Rav Mendel Feldman, Zichrona Levracha, joined us for a meal. No? Abba, you remember this? When Rabbi Feldman came for a meal and Mommy made some fish that was fried with butter, Chabad's practice is not to eat it. All the people sitting on the table didn't want to eat it. Rabbi Feldman takes a big chunk of it finally to eat, and he explained to Mommy after that the minhag of Chabad is not to eat it. Okay, it's based on a mistaken girsa in a Beis Yosef, and you should know that at least in the Sefer Marivayel, the Sefer Leket Yosher, which is written in the 15th century, the minig was that they'd have dogim with chema dafka on Shavuos. Okay, now, the source of this minhag ended up, like we mentioned, being mispatzel, and in Spanish communities, the minig was that on Shavuos they would eat devash. In Ashkenazi communities, in Tsarfas and Provence, the minig was to eat cholov. In the later poskim, if you look in the Mishneh Brura over here in Simen Toftzadi Dalid, the Mishneh Brura in Se'if Katin Yud Gimel says that even though the Ramah writes that they should eat cholov, but you should also have devash on Shavuos, because devash v'cholov tachas l'shoneich. So the Mishneh Brura is going back to an older practice of having honey together with the cholov on Shavuos. Devash v'cholov tachas l'shoneich. The minig of having matzah on Shavuos, I don't think makes it. And the Aruch HaShulchan also quotes the minhag to have honey and cholov on Shavuos, as I state in the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay. So all is grand so far. Now, we're not exactly sure where this came from. The oldest source that we could find, really, is about having milk on Shavuos, is in the Sefer Kolbo that we mentioned, and we spoke about the Kolbo as a 14th century Sefer. The oldest source of having only cholov on Shavuos is in the Maharil. He lived 1365 till 1427. However, However, there is an even earlier source of Devash and Cholov together, and that earlier source was only connected to Shavuos incidentally. Let me explain what I'm talking about. There is a whole series of minhagim that developed around taking a boy to cheder for the first time when he began to learn. The Medrash writes at the beginning of Chumash VaYikra that Yavo'u Tahirim v'Yisasku b'Tahara, that children would begin learning Chumash with Parshas VaYikra. That was the minig. Actually, the Nitei Gavriel has an entire sefer about minhagim of taking a kid to cheder for the first time. Okay, as I state. Now, in the Sefer Rokeach, writes that the minig, when you take a kid to cheder the first time, was that they would give the kid, they'd put honey on a tavla, they'd have like a tablet with all the letters of the osi, all the osios, so the aleph beis, written out, and the kid would lick the honey off of the tablet. I remember when I first learned aleph beis, grandmommy's father, Velvel Katz, gave me some honey, which I assume was somehow a kiyum of this older minhag. Now, right, so this minhag might be the source of many diseases. What you're pointing out is that kids before the age of 2 are not supposed to have honey. I don't think we can attribute COVID-19 to this minhag. So they would all lick it from the same tablet. Correct, that makes things noch erger, and that makes things even worse. But the minig in the Sefer Rokeach is that the first time the kid would go to cheder, the kid would eat the honey from the tablet, and the kid would also eat cookies made out of cheese cookies, and on the cheese cookies, stuff would be written. They'd write psukim. It would say Torah Tehei Emunasi on those cheese cookies. And they would have many different psukim that would Ya'ir li ozen l'shmo'a kilimudim Hashem Elokim psachli ozen anochi lo merisi achar lo nisagosi. Right, they have different psukim that they'd write on the cheese cookies. So the minhag by Holochas Tinok le Beis HaSefer is that they would eat devash and chalav. The earliest source of that minhag, of eating devash and chalav, by Holochas Tinok le Beis HaSefer, is found in the Machzor Vitri. Baruch Meir, you could ask your other grandfather. The Machzor Vitri is around 1,000 years old. He died around, he's a Talmud of Rashi. The earliest Yiddish words that we are aware of are found in the Machzor Vitri. You thought far-fetched was the earliest Yiddish word, but in fact, the earliest Yiddish word is found in the Machzor Vitri. In the Machzor Vitri, it says that you know when they would take a kid to cheder the first time, and they'd give him the devash and the chalav on the Yontif of Shavuos. And it makes perfect sense. The Yontif of Shavuos is a Yontif of Kabbalah HaTorah. They would introduce little boys to Limud HaTorah on the Yontif of Kabbalah HaTorah. And the way they would introduce it would be through Devash and Cholov, which I think is actually a very, it's a very nice idea, and that could be the source of this. Devash v'cholav tachas l'shonech, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, right? So that's the source. A Torah is compared to devash and cholav. And it's actually very beautiful. And this minhag really continued for a very long time of devash and cholav, but it was part of bringing a kid to cheder. Later on, right, again, the Machzor Vitri is around in the 12th century. 200 years later, the minhag ended up on Shavuos, and they forgot about this minhag in the context of taking the kid to cheder. The Rakeach is from 1176 to 1238. He only has the minhag about taking of dvash and cholov when they would take the kid to cheder. Now, this idea that the minhag that we have of, or let's say it better, in the older minhagim, that they would begin taking a kid to cheder on Shavuos, and they would give the kid devash to lick it off the tablet, like you pointed out, that might not be the healthiest thing, and they'd give him like cheese cookies, and the cheese cookies said on them, Torah, Tehei Emunasi, stuff like that. That indicates that you're allowed to eat cookies on Yontiv that have words on them. Azoi shteita machzer victory. You know, there's a whole discussion in, right, Hilcha Shabbos. We're back to Hilcha Shabbos. So the Ramah in Simin Shin Mem, the Ramah discusses what about if you have words that are written on a, right, if you have words that here, if you have words that are written on cookies or the like. So the Ramah writes Shin Mem Seif Gimel Usur Lishbar Uga Shekasav Olav Kimin Osius Afal Pishen Machaven Rakla Achila De Hevi Mochek. Right, the Ramah writes that it's going to be a problem. Some of the Achrenim say that the Dog Omer Vava has a kula on this, etc. If you write the Osios with Devash, it's going to be mutter. That's what it all says in the Mishnah Brura. But it's interesting that the earliest sources of this idea found in the Machzer Vitri, you have them eating chalav on Yontiv, cookies on Yontiv with these psukim that are written on it. Yes. So Derech Achila is going to be mutter. To break the cookies, the Ramah says it's usser. The Dog Omer Rav Vava is even makel to break the cookie, but the Mishnah Brura writes that you could rely on the Dog Omer Rav Vava when you are shover the osios befiv derech achila. Look in the Mishnah Brura, Shin Mem Se'if Katin Yud Zayin. Right, the Dog Omer Rav Vava would be makel in Gansen. He'd be makel even to break the cookie. The Mishnah Berurah says only rely on the Dog Omer Rav Vava when you're eating it. Again, I don't know anyone who digs up this Machzer victory in this context, but Lecha Ora, it's an interesting source. Yes. First of all, the minig, the way it ends up in the Ramah, is only on Yontiv Rishon. Your rabbi says that this minig is on Yontiv Sheni. It's unclear from the earliest sources if it would be the first day of Shavuos or the second day of Shavuos. Again, it's really unclear. Now, let's just talk about this minig a little bit more. This minhag is of eating chalav on Shavuos is highly problematic for two reasons. The Mishnah in Chulin on Daf Pei Gimel. The Mishnah in Chulin Pei Gimel tells me there's an issur of oso ve'espino. You're not allowed to shecht the mother and the baby the same day. Oso ve'espino lo sishchatu biyom echad. Ordinarily, I buy an animal. I don't have to worry that the mother was shechted today. But zok the Mishnah, ba'arba prakim b'shana ha'mocher behim l'chaveiro, tzarech l'hodiyo, ima macharti lishkot, bito macharti lishkot. There are four times a year that it's very common to eat meat, and therefore if you buy an animal, the mocher has to say, I sold the mother, I sold the daughter, I sold the baby, I sold the mommy, right, four times a year. And these are the four times a year, shtein the Mishnah chulen daf pei gimel, eluhein, Erev Yontiv Acharin Shochag, right? The last day of Sukkot, what we call Shmini Atzeres. Erev Yontiv Arishon Shal Pesach. Erev Atzeres. In other words, on Erev Shavuos, you have to say, Ima Macharti Lishkot, Bita Macharti Lishkot, because on Shavuos, everybody would eat meat. On Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkis, there's less of a concern. Not as many people would eat meat. Everyone ate meat. Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach, right? That's what the Mishnah, I'm just reading a Mishnah to you. Comes along the Sefer Toras Chaim on the Gemara there in, on the Mishnah there in Chulin Pei Gimel. And the Toras Chaim says, Mikan, from here you see, that the minig of eating chalav on Shavuos is wrong. Because Adarabba, they dafka ate basar. You see that they ate more basar on Shavuos than on other Yomim Tovim. Now, of course, this is not a question the way the Ramah brings the minig down, that they would divide the meal. They'd have first chalav, then basar. Right? But if you hold that they'd only have chalav, so the Teres Chaim has a raya against this minhag. Now, there's another issue that comes up with this minhag, which is the general question of Simchas Yontiv, and whether based on Simchas Yontiv, you have to eat meat. The Rambam tells us in Perek Vov of Hilchas Yontiv, Halacha Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, that the Simcha is Karban Shlamim, but Bizman Hazeh, the Simcha is Anoshim Beroy Lahem, Noshim Beroy Lahem, so many meat and drink wine. That's the mitzvah Simchas Yontiv, according to the Rambam. The Rambam Perek Vov of Hilchas Yontiv, Halacha Yud Ches, says that the mitzvah Simchas Yontiv, even Bisman Hazem, when we don't have kachim, is that you have to eat meat. Interestingly, in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Kuf Chaf Tes, when this Rambam is quoted, it does not say that you have to eat meat on Yontiv. It could be that eating meat on Yontiv is only Bisman HaMikdash, because of Simchas Yontiv, but maybe Bisman Hazeh, it doesn't apply. Nonetheless, some of the Achrenim quote from the Shagas Aryeh, in one of his tshuvas right, that Bizman Hazeh Simchas Yontiv is still mitzvah d'oraisa, and therefore you should try to eat meat. So one of the issues is that you're supposed to eat meat on Yontiv because of Simchas Yontiv. So again, according to the Ramah's practice, it makes sense, because they also have meat, but according to the other practices, it does not make sense. Yeah, what do you have to say?
It's proof that Basar B'chalav is mutter.
It's clear that Basar B'chalav is mutter. So it's mutter to have Chalav and afterwards Basar, not Basar and afterwards Chalav. In fact, all the Achronim go to town and say you have to be very careful to make sure that you fulfill all of the halachos of Harchakos between Chalav and Basar. They say that you have to have separate tablecloths. That's not Pashat, no? Do you need a separate tablecloth when you have meat, when you have milk and then meat? The Tshuvas Radvaz is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva and Yerideya that it's not necessary if you eat on plates. If you're uncivilized and you don't eat on the plate, then you need a separate tablecloth. If you eat on the plate, l'cha'ora, you don't need a separate tablecloth. There are dinim of hamtana between basar and chalav, obviously 6 hours. Between chalav and basar, the pashtus is there's no din of hamtana at all, although some of the mekubalim, the Pri Chodesh has this as well, have a practice of waiting 1 hour between Chalav and Basar. If that's the case, then this minig of the Ramah would be very difficult to fulfill Shtei Halachim, because you need like an hour between them, although there is some literature in the later Svarim that maybe we relax some of the Harchakas between Chalav and Basar on the Yontiv of Shavuos. There is a discussion about the din of Gevina Kasha of hard cheese that you have to wait 6 hours. The Mishnah Berurah actually over here in Hilchos Shavuos writes that after hard cheese you have to wait 6 hours. My approach, as some of you probably know, is that the source of waiting 6 hours after hard cheese is very difficult. The Shach quotes a Sefer Mitzarei Flachachma that you only have to wait 1 hour after hard cheese, and I have a whole beer as to why that's correct, but I acknowledge that my diuk in the Shach is not normative Judaism, and it's clearly, I never noticed until this morning, it's clearly against the Mishnah Berurah here in Hilchos Shavuos, who writes that you have to wait 6 hours, it's in the Shaar Tzion, writes you have to wait 6 hours between Gevina Kasha and Basar. Yes?
You're not worried about melted hard cheese.
About melted hard cheese? So yeah. Melted heart cheese is a discussion in the Sefer Yad Yehuda in Yerideya. My understanding is that the whole din is gevina kasha. Once it's melted, it's no longer kasha, and it should not apply at all. Rabbi Forst, in his Hilchas Kashrus book, Domani, he read the Yad Yehuda wrong. If you want Yulav and Farakwa, you could ask him. Rabbi, in the Hilchas Kashrus book, Rabbi Forst says there's a difference between when the cheese is melted onto something or melted into something. I don't think that's the correct shot in the Yad Yehuda. I think the Yad Yehuda is saying that all melted cheese is going to be okay. And there's a discussion, Bisman Hazeh, I have actually in the Chuvas Vishov Rafa, who is the rabbi of Rotterdam. At one point, when I used to work in Richard Joel's office, the rabbi of Rotterdam came to visit, and he gave his set of Chuvas Vishov Rafa to Richard Joel, so Richard Joel handed it to me. So I have these Chuvas Vishov Rafa, the rabbi of Rotterdam. So he has a whole contrast about whether standard American cheese today is considered Gavina Kasha. Rebbe Yashiv and Reb Shlomo Zalman were machmir that you have to wait 6 hours after standard American cheese. Pashto says that this is not correct. The cheshbin for waiting 6 hours is because the Shach writes in Yerideya that any cheese which is nisyashin vav chadashim, any cheese which is aged for 6 months, is considered gevina kasha. Reb Shlomo Zalman said that American cheese just has enzymes. Enzymes, right, this is an amazing thing in chemistry, enzymes speed up reactions, which means that what happens with American cheese over half an hour when it takes 6 months in the olden days, and therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman feels that you should wait. But the Pashto says that waiting after American cheese doesn't really make sense, because you wait after cheese either because, or the Pashto says to wait after the hard cheese is because it's moshech tam, it has a strong flavor. American cheese does not really have a strong flavor. Pizza cheese does not have a strong flavor. Swiss cheese is the only type of cheese that you really have to wait out after, or some hard cheddar cheeses. Avram Gordimer from the OU always puts out a list of the cheeses and how long you have to wait. So basically, we have minhagim of eating Macholei Cholav on Shavuos, which, as we mentioned, is probably an extension of the minhag of Holachas Tinok LeBeis HaSefer, which used to happen on the Yontiv of Shavuos. Now, in the later Sfarim, there are many, many, many reasons given for the minhag of eating cheese on Shavuos. The Magen Avraham writes that since between Pesach and Shavuos you have 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, last night was 48, by the way, those of you keeping score. So because there are 7 weeks, and the 7 weeks is like the Shiva Nikiyam of a woman when she's Anida, and Dam Ne'akar V'Na'ase Cholav, right, the Gemara says that blood somehow becomes milk. So therefore, we eat Macholei Cholav on Shavuos. The Magen Avraham loves this reason, and he says this is like the best reason. I have no idea what this reason is supposed to mean. I can't make heads or tails out of this reason. The Mishnah Berurah gives a different reason for eating Cholav on Shavuos. The Mishnah Berurah says that they couldn't eat Basar right after Matan Torah, because after Matan Torah, you have a Mitzvah Shechita. It says, V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. And all of the stuff that they had from beforehand is now treif. They can't shecht, and they can't salt the meat, and they can't remove the gid hanasha, etc. So therefore, they had to eat chalav. Now, of course, this is problematic on two levels. The Gemara in Chulin has a discussion about basar nechira shechnisa Yisrael la'aretz, right? That, let's say you have meat, right? After Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is fighting the wars of Sichon and Og, there's a heter they're allowed to eat. There's a heter they were allowed to eat non-kosher meat. That's what the Gemara in Chulin Yud Zayin derives. The question is, let's say you have leftover non-kosher meat, basar nechir shechnisa Yisrael la'aretz, is it going to be mutter or not? The Rush writes, a nafgamina for us would be if someone makes a neder, and they have leftover food from before they made the neder, is it mutter to eat it? Right? They have leftover meat from the time that the meat was kosher. Similarly, there's a whole discussion in the 9 days. Maybe you're allowed to eat your leftovers of meat from Shabbos. You're allowed to eat it Matzei Shas during the 9 days. Again, all these things, pardon the expression, are Hasidish jokes. Right? They don't really make... Again?
Today Israel didn't paskin like that rush.
B'nai Zadon fast like that Rosh. Right, so one of the problems is, right, this is against the Rosh. A more fundamental problem is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Peches tells us that everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Correct? If that's the case, so what's the Mishnah Berurah talking about? They wouldn't be able to eat fleishiks, because fleishiks would involve shechting an animal and salting an animal, removing the gun hanasha. Of course you can't shecht an animal. It's Dach Shabbos. Right? You can't shecht an animal on Shabbos. So the whole Mishnah Berurah doesn't make sense. In the Dirshu Mishnah Berurahs, they point out that the Chafetz Chaim, in a different one of his Sefer, in the Likutei Halachas, on the last page, the Likutei Halachas writes that this that he wrote is only according to the opinion of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that the Torah was given on Erev Shabbos. The Torah is given on Shabbos, it's not true. Okay, now, this minhag, the way the minhag is explained by the Mishnah Berurah, that they would eat chalav on Shavuos because they couldn't eat meat, this would explain the practice of many people who eat a fleishik meal Shavuos at night and a milchik meal Shavuos during the day. The Torah was given during the day on Shavuos. So memela, the whole cheshbin of not eating meat, it applies to the daytime. At night, they would eat meat. So that would be okay. Of course, the other minhag probably makes more sense. The minhag of eating meat during the day and cholav at night, that makes more sense from a purely halachic standpoint, because at night, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, there's no mitzvah simchas yontiv at night. The mitzvah simchas yontiv, right, l'rabos leila yontiv acharon for simcha. In other words, shmini atzeres at night, there's a mitzvah simcha, but other yomim tovim at night, there's no mitzvah simcha. So if there's no mitzvah simcha at night, you can have cholav at night. But during the day, you should have basar to be mekayim, the inyan of simcha.
This is the most Ashkenazic discussion that's ever existed.
What do you mean?
That we have this minhag and we're trying to be mefakfek reasons that
this is what we do all the time. This is what makes Judaism fun. Right. Now,
no, but poskim don't deal with this stuff.
Normative halacha does not deal with it so often. Right, Sfaradim do not have any minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos. I think that's correct. I'll agree with that. Now let's just go on. There are many, many other reasons that are given for the minig of eating milchiks on Shavuos. We could go from the wild to the wilder. From the wild to the wilder in terms of these minhagim. There, the Gemara says, the end of Tainus, that you make a simcha legomra shal mitzvah. When you finish a mitzvah, you make a simcha. It's a little bit strange, no? The pashtus is you should make a simcha, you should make a su'uda when you begin a mitzvah. I should be sad when I finish a mitzvah, because I'm done. But the Gemara tells us at the end of Tainus that the B'nai San of Shal Binyamin, after they brought the Atzei L'ma'arocha, they would make a su'uda. That's one of the sources of the Yontif of Tu B'Av, no? Because they finished the mitzvah. When you finish a mitzvah, like a siyum mesechta is a very hard thing to understand. What are you happy when you finish a mesechta? I should be happy when I begin a mesechta, because now I have an opportunity to do the mitzvah of learning Maseches Chulin. When I finish a mesechta,
that's why you do both.
That's why you do both. That you make a. Do people make a suda when they begin the mesechta?
The simcha is both for the siyum. And
right, you're saying, because that's why at a siyum we say hadron alach, that we're going to return, yeah, and we're maschil the next mesechta. It could be, but the idea of making a seuda when you finish a mitzvah is actually one of the main sources of how come there's a seuda at a bar mitzvah. Why are you happy at a bar mitzvah for? The teretz is that a father had a mitzvah of chinuch. And the father says, Baruch shepetarani me'an shoshal zeh. Right? I tried to do chinuch. I wasn't successful. I'm done with it. Right? I finished my mitzvah. And that's why you make a seuda, you make a simcha at a bar mitzvah, because you're done with the mitzvah. This idea of making a seuda, a simcha, when you're done with the mitzvah, l'cha'or applies to the yontiv of Shavuos also, because I'm happy that I finished the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. I'm much more happy when I finish the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer than I am when I finish the mitzvah of shaking the lulav, because I'm much more likely to mess up in middle of the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer than I am in middle of the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. But I'm happy when I finish Sfiras HaOmer. So I make a seuda. The only thing is, if I'm going to make a seuda with basar, people might think it's just a regular simchas yontiv. They're not going to think that it's a mitzvah that I'm happy also because I finished Sfiras HaOmer. So in order to show that it's not a regular simchas yontiv, it's also that I have joy because I finished my mitzvah, that's why you make the seuda of chalav. That would be another reason why the seuda's chalav would be at night, as opposed to the Seudas Cholav being during the day. Another reason why there's a minig to eat milchiks on Shavuos is because we have a tradition that since David HaMelech was nifter on Shavuos. Such a tradition. Now, the halacha is, even though ordinarily there's no aninos on yontiv, but when Melech Yisrael dies, there is an inyan of aninos, even on Yontif. And Onen is not allowed to eat basar. So because Klal Yisrael are Onenim, since David HaMelech died, so Memela they wouldn't eat basar, that's why they ate chalav. Another source of the minhag of eating chalav is based on the Taisvis in Chumash, which is based on a Medrash. The Medrash tells us that the Malachi Hashareis had a taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How come you're giving the Torah to human beings? We angels, we want the Torah. So, according to one Medrash that the Baal HaYah tells us quote in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, you know what? I can't give you the Torah because you ate basar b'cholav. The Pasuk writes, Vayika chema v'cholav, Avram Avinu gives the malachim chema v'cholav, uben habakar asher asa, he gives them meat and milk together. The malachi hashareis, the psukim say, are eish, so therefore they are cooking the basar and the cholav together, so it's mamish treif. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the malachim, I can't give you the Torah, because you guys ate basar b'cholav. So in order to say, to show our happiness that we receive the Torah and we, as opposed to the angels, receive the Torah. So that's why we eat chalav, to show that we are not like the angels. The angels violated the Isser basar b'chalav, but we're going to eat chalav and then basar and not violate the Isser of basar b'chalav. And that's why we do it our way. What do you have to taina? Okay, let me...
Maybe you want milk in your coffee that night, which is why you...
What happened that night? I missed it.
You want to be able to put milk in your coffee.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. I'm going to have to... I'll ask you to text me later. You're breaking up. Let me give one other reason why there's a minig to eat chalav on Shavuos. And you're going to think that this is the craziest of all. Tell me, what day was Moshe Rabbeinu born? When's his birthday? Zayin Adar, no? Moshe Rabbeinu is born on Zayin Adar. The Pasuk says that after Moshe Rabbeinu was born, they hid Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months, and then they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the river. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes out of the river. So let's go. What's 3 months after Zayin Adar? It goes Zayin Adar to Nisan, Nisan to Iyar, Iyar to Sivan. Vav Sivan is 3, Vav Sivan, which is Shavuos, is the day that's 3 months after Moshe Rabbeinu was born. That's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu is put in the river. Vatosim Basuf. On that day that Moshe Rabbeinu is put in the river. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is put in the river on Vav Sivan. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the day he's put in the river, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not going to nurse from any Egyptian. because treif milk is not good for me. So what we do in order to show that we remember this episode with Moshe Rabbeinu not nursing from a treif Egyptian is that we have kosher milk on Shavuos, and that is Megala that we remember that episode of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what I'm trying to do is make is have a good time with the minug of Yisrael, the minug of having cholav on Shavuos, machale cholav on Shavuos. There's a lot to be said about this minhag, but the idea that the original, earliest possible source of the minhag comes from the Machzor Vitri about Holochas Tinok, the Beis HaSefer, I think is really interesting. Okay, Chevra, so this is just what I wanted to discuss. Any ha'aros?